Yeah, especially when we come from the West, we read and read, or we listen and listen. Huh? So we hear about Nibbana, we hear about the Kilesas, huh? We hear about Samadhi, we hear about Panya, wisdom. Huh? But these are just words. What does it mean? What is the Kilesas? Huh? If you don't experience, huh? If you don't experience Samadhi, we don't know what Samadhi is. And in order to experience Samadhi, yeah, I mean, we have to do the work. Yeah? We have to do the work, you know, I mean, to stay with the breath at the point around the nose, yeah? To know the breath goes in, and to know the breath goes out. Yeah? If you don't do the work, we will never experience the calm of the heart, yeah, or the calm of the citta. And whenever the mind goes out, you know, I mean, we bring it back to the point of attention, be it the Buddha or be it the breath. Huh? Knowing at every moment how the breath is it the in-breath, is it the out-breath? Huh? We don't have to think this is the in-breath, this is the out-breath. Huh? But we know it's the in-breath, it's the out-breath, it's long, it's short, it's deep, it's shallow, yeah. It's rough, you know, it's detailed, or it's very subtle, yeah. That's what we have to know. The same about the Buddha. Is the Buddha, you know, starting or is the Buddha ending? You know, is it is it fast or is it slow? Is it deep? Is it shallow? Yeah. And whenever the mind goes out, yeah, that's where we need the effort. Yeah. We don't need to push. Yeah, we don't need to push the Buddha. We don't need to push the concentration. That just creates headache and restlessness. Huh? Just bring it back. Yeah. Just bring it back. And that's where we need. Yeah? The effort is bringing the mind back to the point of attention. That's where we put the effort. Yeah? Once it is back on the point of attention, be it the breath or the Buddha, I mean, let's just stay there until the mind goes out again. Huh? And then we bring it back. Huh? And then we bring it back. And then we bring it back. I mean, why do you think, you know, the Lord Buddha, yeah, talked about the training of the mind like training a wild elephant? Huh? We catch the wild elephant, that means we catch our attention, yeah, put it on the breath, yeah, we tie a thick rope around the elephant, yeah, and tie it to a pole, yeah, so that the elephant cannot escape. He wants to escape, but, you know, the rope keeps him, you know, towards the pole. And the pole is our point of attention, yeah? Be it the Buddha or be it the breath, yeah? Around the tip of the nose, yeah? Once the elephant knows that he cannot, yeah, he cannot escape, he goes to rest. And this is what is called samadhi, yeah? I mean, we always think, you know, I mean, is this samadhi or not? Is this samadhi? I mean, the moment we experience, we know it is samadhi, yeah? Because there's a calmness, there's a happiness that we have not experienced in the world, yeah? I mean, the happiness that we experience in the world, you know, when we get this or when we get that, or this is successful or that is successful, yeah? I mean, this is nothing compared to the happiness that we can experience in samadhi. Yeah? But in order to get there, you know, I mean, we have to train the mind. Yeah, we have to. Yeah, we have to find the rope. You know that that ties the mind to the pole. Yeah, and that is, you know, I mean, that's what I say. Yeah, I mean, whenever the mind goes out, we bring it back and bring it back and bring it back until it stays there. And once it stays there, I mean, all the thoughts, you know, and the memories that constantly, you know, pull the mind out, you know, don't come anymore. And then we experience a calm. And then we experience a happiness, you know, of the calmness. Yeah? And this is something, you know, yeah, I mean, I can describe it with words, you know, but you don't know what I mean unless you go there and experience it for yourself. Yeah? What did the Lord Buddha say? Open your eyes, you know, and, yeah, and see for yourself. Yeah? But In the West, you know, we are so much trained, you know, of understanding, you know, we read the books, you know, we read all the suttas, we understand, oh, this is, you know, that is what Nibbana is, you know, or that is Samadhi, or this is the first, no, that is stream entry, or that is, you know. We have not the slightest clue, it's just words, yeah? Words, you know, I mean, the moment we go there, we know what it means. Eh? But if you don't go there, if you don't actually put the put our effort into, yeah, it's the same thing, you know. I mean, lots of people read about Rome, you know, the capital in Italy with the Colosseum and all these things, yeah, and they read and read, you know, and see the pictures, you know, but they have never been to Rome. The moment they go to Rome, it has a completely different experience. They see and understand. Yeah. And let's say, you know, one person, you know, went to Rome and another read all the literature about Rome. Yeah. And when the one person, you know, asked the other person who just read the literature, how is Rome, you know? Have you been? Yeah, I've been to Rome. No, he has not been to Rome because we know. Yeah. The way he talks, the way he, you know, the experience is the words of other people. Yeah? But we have been there. So we can, yeah, we can understand if a person has been to Rome or not. Or if we can understand if a person has been in Samadhi or not, yeah. But we can use, of course, yeah, and that's how we fool ourselves. Yeah? We fool ourselves, we've been here and we've been there. No, yeah? The experience itself is burned into our heart. We cannot, yeah. We can never forget it. That is the beauty of it. Just like when we have deep insight, it's burned into our heart. Yeah? When Lungna Mahabodh talks about the experience of Sotapanna, I mean, it's burned in the heart. Yeah, he knows, you know, I mean, that is Nibbana. Yeah, even though he just has seen it. Yeah, he just experienced it for a second or 2 seconds. But that was enough to be burned in his heart. He never, ever forgets this experience. Yeah? But if we read about it, you know, ah, this is the experience, that is it, you know, yeah. I mean, we forget it. And that means we have never been there. Yeah? The experience, you know, or the results of our practice are burned in our heart that we won't forget. Yeah? And it is amazing, yeah. We don't have to memorize it. The beauty of it, yeah. It's always there. Yeah? The experience cannot go away. And nobody can take it away from us. Yeah? Yeah? But if you read all the suttas, you know, and if you have a certain understanding of what the teaching of the Lord Buddha is, yeah, other people can come and take it away from us. They can dispute it. Yeah? I said, no, what you said is not right. Yeah? But if we actually have experience what the Lord Buddha talks about it, we just know that they're talking bullshit. Yeah? That they have never been there, that they don't even understand. And we don't even need to say anything. Yeah? We feel sorry for them. Yeah? Yeah? Because it's all up in their mind. Yeah? So, let us go to the actual experience. And Samadhi is a really important experience. You know? It shows us, you know, when we go into Samadhi, I mean, we don't want anything. And when we come out of Samadhi, we want this, or we are not happy about this, we are not happy about that. Yeah? For instance, you know, when it is hot, you know, we go into Samadhi, I mean, we are completely happy. Yeah? We are completely satisfied. The moment we come out, oh, it's so hot, I need a shower, or I need something to drink, or I need this, or this, that. Yeah? But while we are in Samadhi, no matter if it is really cold, or if it is very hot, we are happy. We are contented. Yeah? We don't want anything, yeah? And then we see, you know, what creates all this dukkha. This wanting, yeah? This constantly restlessness or desire, you know, to change things, yeah? We constantly want to change things around us. We are not happy with the way this is, or we are not happy with the way that is, yeah? But when we go into Samadhi, yeah? And that is why the experience of Samadhi is so important, yeah? And I taught you so often, you know, how to get there, yeah? It is our effort, you know, that we put in. And it is not the effort, you know, that we put into the concentration. It is the effort, and please remember it, it's the effort to bring the mind back to our point of attention. Yeah? And a very good sign, you know, I mean, of course, you know, questions are coming up, you know, it happens to everyone who starts meditation. Yeah? Do I do the correct or do I not correct? Do I sit correct or not sit correct? These are all BS questions, you know, coming from the Kilesa. We know there's one thing. As long as we are at the point of attention, yeah, the point of interest, we are on the right path. No matter how the point of attention is, no matter how the breath is or how the Buddha is, yeah, the Buddha doesn't have to be in a certain way. The breath doesn't have to be in a certain way. But as long as we know the breath, or as long as we are with the Buddha, we are on the right path. If we are not, then we are off the path. I mean, it is so simple. Yeah. So we don't have to doubt about this. Am I sitting correctly? As long as you sit comfortably, you sit correctly. Yeah. It's not training the body, yeah. It is training the mind, yeah. And once the mind gets calm, and you will see that if you go a little bit deeper in samadhi, you know, the body instantly erects itself without us doing anything, yeah. Because the kilesas, when we sit like this, it's the kilesas pushing us down, yeah. Once the kilesas are gone for the moment, we sit in the mind, we are completely straight and the body is absolutely relaxed. Yeah? We don't have to do this. Yeah? We don't have to posture our body in a certain way. No, we have to control the mind. Once the mind is controlled, yeah, and is, you know, in samadhi, I mean, the body is perfectly fine. And it is even, you know, I mean, if you go even into Apana Samadhi, I mean, where the body is just on its own, where the citta is gone, yeah, gone into Apana Samadhi, yeah, I mean, the body doesn't feel anything, yeah, it's just like a tree stump, yeah. I mean, in the 2 or 3 centuries ago, I mean, they called a person dead, you know, who went into Apana Samadhi, and they buried him, yeah. And then the moment he came out of Apana Samadhi, he tried to get out of his coffin, yeah. Or sometimes, you know, even before they put him in the coffin, you know, he woke up. Huh? I mean, sometimes, you know, shock, you know, can bring us into this state, yeah. And at that time, you know, medicine wasn't that great. You know, it didn't know that the body was not yet dead, yeah, or the person, or the citta was not yet dead. The citta has just left the body, you know, and the moment it comes back, you know, I mean, it wakes up the body. Because the citta is the owner of the body, yeah. And when the body moves, that means, you know, the citta moves, yeah. When the citta doesn't move, the body doesn't move. Try to understand this, yeah, please. Yeah. And put the effort, you know, and samadhi is important, you know, for us to realize, you know, I mean, it is our desire, you know, when we come out of samadhi, it is our desire that creates all this dukkha in this world. Yeah. Because when we go into samadhi, there's no desire, there's no wanting. We are completely satisfied with the way things are. Okay, enough for today, yeah? Just for reminding you, yeah. Try the best, yeah. And also remember these two things, yeah. As long as we are the point of interest or with our object, yeah, we are on the right path. Yeah? No matter how the object is. Yeah? If we are not with our object of attention, we are not on the right path, yeah. And don't put so much effort, yeah. Put the effort into bringing the mind back to its point of attention. That's the two things that we should remember all the time. Yeah? We tend to forget it all the time. Yeah? Oh, why doesn't it work? Why doesn't it work? Why doesn't it work? Huh? Who's asking this question? It's the kilesa. Yeah? Okay, and then do also a little bit, once a day, you do a little bit of reflection about your life, yeah? When you were born, yeah? When you went to school, when you learned to walk, when you learned to talk, yeah? And then go until, you know, death comes, you know, because, I mean, we have been through so many deaths, you know, already as human beings, as, yeah. So, see, you know, see the dukkha, yeah, of having this body, yeah. Maybe it gives us some motivation, you know, to overcome the dukkha. And one part, you know, one part of overcoming the dukkha is entering samadhi. Yeah? The other one is, of course, you know, when we come here to the monastery, we do that already. You know, I mean, keeping the 8 precepts, yeah? and the last one is developing wisdom. Yeah? And when we reflect about our life, you know, of the body, you know, when it gets ill, when it gets sick, you know, when it is, you know, when it is born, when it gets old, you know, when it dies, yeah, that is already, you know, very, very simple, you know, developing wisdom. Yeah? Everybody of us, yeah? Every of us gets old, you know, every of us gets sick, yeah. Some get more sick and others get less sick, yeah. When we are born, you know, I mean, we nearly die, because when we come out of the womb, you know, and when we die, you know, the pain is just as much as the pain when we are born, yeah. But we don't remember anything, yeah. So let's go back in memory, yeah. Remember these things, you know, I mean, it's a good way, you know, to give us some motivation, you know, to get out of the cycle of birth and death, yeah. Constantly being born, you know, constantly, you know, training this body. I mean, just talking about the human life. Constantly training this body, going to school, finding a job, you know, working, you know, and then, you know, when we get retired, you know, I mean, waiting for death to come. Huh? That's our human life in a nutshell for 99.9% of the people. Yeah? That's what they do. In the next life, they do the same thing. Maybe they have a different job. Yeah. Maybe they have a different relatives. Yeah. Maybe they have different parents. Yeah. But most of us, you know, I mean, select the old parents. You know, select the old relatives. Yeah. if they are coming at the same time. Yeah. So it's boring. Okay. So, if you have questions, you know, now you can ask them. Any questions?
When doing Anapanasati, I find sometimes I habitually, like it's like a habit, I kind of tense up these muscles and also control the breath.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm not meant to control the breath, just kind of bring the attention to the breath.
Yeah.
But it's still that habit keeps coming. What's the best thing to do? Is it to consciously relax?
I mean, this will accompany us for a long, long time, because it is our habit. Whatever we observe, we try to control. When the breath, when we don't observe the breath, it flows freely. When we try to observe the breath, we try to control it, make it happening in a certain way, whatever we think of it. So what you do is, you know, when you realize it, you can say control and relax, yeah, or just relax, and then go back to the breath. Yeah? And in the beginning, you know, it will help a lot, yeah. Towards the end, you know, after you've done it for quite a while, you know, it's just a mind moment, yeah? It's not even a thought anymore. It's just a mind moment that relaxes the control of the breath, yeah? Anything else? Then you can ask the questions. Oh,
yeah.
Long questions.
First three from one person.
One person.
Make the short questions first.
Venerable says, bodhicitta does not arise and pass away. I'm not clear here, because what I understand from the suttas is that the mind changes faster than the body. Please clarify if possible.
The mind changes faster than the body. Yeah. I mean, the mind is part of the citta. I mean, when you think about the mind, yeah? I mean, in Thai, you know, the mind and the heart is one and the same thing. When we talk about the mind, then we talk about the rational aspect of the citta. Yeah? When we talk about the heart, then it is the emotional aspect of the citta. But it's all only aspects of the citta. The kilesas are aspects of the citta. Our effort, you know, is an aspect of the citta. The citta doesn't pass away, yeah? The mind constantly changes, yeah. Our ideas constantly changes, our thoughts constantly changes, yeah. Whatever is within, yeah, within the realm of the citta constantly changes. But the citta itself doesn't die. The liberated citta is the citta free of all these things, yeah. But it still has the imprint, huh? That's why I call, you know, sometimes call the citta being a diamond. When we look at a diamond, we don't see the nature of the diamond, we only see the facet. But we can, you know, we can scrap this facet off and make a new facet, yeah? And that is our characteristic tendency, yeah? So we can get rid of one, yeah, and implement another one. So if we are very stingy, you know, we can rub it out, you know, and make us very generous, yeah? But it's another facet, yeah? But it's not the citta. It's an aspect of the citta, or it's a facet of the diamond, you know? And the citta is the diamond, but it's the nature of the diamond, yeah? So once we be freed, you know, of all the kilesas, you know, I mean, then it is pure, yeah? Before it is stained, yeah? Okay, next.
Before I was a Buddhist, I used to discuss with others about everything that felt hard to say or was hard emotionally, in order to liberate me from my emotions. I also did that to investigate difficult situations. What is the usefulness of that? Is it more worthwhile to investigate and use reasoning alone? How much time should I leave for those kind of investigations?
Reasoning alone is not, you know, I mean, it's just thinking about it. Yeah? But what is important, you know, I mean, when an emotion comes, you know, instantly to stop it with, you know, fast repeating buddha, 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 and then see what kind of thoughts lead to this emotion. And then we can correct these kind of thoughts, yeah? What came before the emotion started, yeah? Or was it a feeling, was it seeing, was it, you know, was it a memory, you know? And what came before that, you know, until we find the stone, you know, that causes the avalanche. Because emotion is not one of the natural, it's not, yeah, it's not only feeling, it's like, you know, I mean, cotton candy, yeah. I mean, we throw some sugar into a hot pan, you know, and you know, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, yeah. Or the avalanche, yeah. I mean, it starts with a stone, yeah. And we have to find the stone, then we can, you know, then we can correct it, yeah. I mean, reasoning, yes, yeah, I mean, if you don't have a lot of sati, if you don't see what is going on, it does help a little bit, but it doesn't cure the problem. Okay?
In your talks, you often mention that the heart knows all of the answers, and if you look in your heart, you'll find the right answer. My question is, how do I know the answer comes from the heart and not the kilesas? Because what if all the answers are thoughts?
Yeah. Because if the answers are all thoughts, you know that it's not from the heart. The answer from the heart comes through knowingness. Yeah. And knowingness, I mean, it is like, you know, I mean, you sit in a truck with a loud engine, yeah? And that is thought, you know, and you turn off the engine, and then you suddenly hear the beep of the birds around you that you didn't hear before them. Yeah? So, I mean, it is knowingness, yeah? And knowingness and thoughts are different. Yeah? It's not easy, yeah? I mean, first of all, you know, we have to refute all the thought, all the ideas that come from, you know, from the kilesas and say, no, don't believe it or don't trust it, you know, I mean, or this cannot be right or that cannot be right, until there's no more answer coming from the kilesas. And then, yeah, I mean, often, not all the time, something pops up. And this popping up is the knowingness, you know, that tells us what is true or not true. Okay? Now the long ones.
During a pain investigation, the pain kept moving and changing, sometimes disappeared. When asking where the pain came from, I had a vision of a person harming someone and felt as if it was me in one of my past lives. It was very upsetting. I stopped the investigation and accepted the pain as my karma. The pain stopped moving, remained in the location it was the strongest during this session. It became very strong, constant and unchanging, and I enjoyed it for the remaining time of the session. If it happens again, should I do the same thing?
Enduring pain is not the question. It's not the solution. Yeah? I mean, we are not yogis who endure pain. We are investigating what is pain. Yeah? And I explained it so often, you know, I mean, how to investigate pain. Yes, sometimes, you know, I mean, for the first thing, you know, sometimes, you know, the pain that we delivered onto other people can come back, you know, in our meditation, and then we just have to accept it, yeah? But enduring is something, you know, we don't want it, but, you know, I mean, there's nothing that we can do. That is not the right kind of attitude, yeah? Okay, and that's what I did to other people, yeah? I mean, especially if we see the image. That's what I did to other people, okay, yeah. And that is the result. Let me see the result of my actions that I did unto others. Okay. That is not endurance, that is, you know, developing wisdom. The other thing is, you know, I mean, asking the question, what is pain? How does it feel like? Not where is the pain coming from? That's not the right question. I never said that. Not where the pain is coming from. What is pain? How does it feel like? Let me feel, you know, with my whole body, how does this feel? How does pain feel like? And then the next question, you know, where is the location of the pain? Maybe that's what he meant, you know. Where's the location of the pain? Okay, it is in the knee, or it is in the back, or it is in the spine. Spine, you know, over wherever it is. Then we go with our attention onto this point where we feel the pain most predominantly, yeah? And then we ask, yeah, is it in the skin? Is it in the tissue? Yeah, I mean, we look at it, you know. Each time, you know, I mean, we have the skin since we are born and we are not always in pain, yeah? So what is it, you know, yeah? Until we find the answer, and then, yeah, I mean, then it can happen that the pain disappears from one point and yeah, goes to the next point. Don't make it move, yeah? I mean, only once you come very close to the truth, yeah, then the pain will move to another point and then you will see, you know, it was all magic, yeah? Because when it was in the left knee, you know, I mean, it suddenly, it was so painful we couldn't hardly bear it, you know, and then it moved to the right knee. I mean, what kind of pain is that? Yeah? I mean, the left knee is fully, you know, without pain, you know, and now the whole pain is in the right knee. And then we do the same thing, yeah? And then we go to the right knee and I investigate it, and then we go to the back, wherever it appears, you know. We concentrate it on it, you know, and then we ask, you know, where is it? Where is it, you know, the location, you know? I mean, is it in the skin? Is it in bones? Is it in tissues? Is it in the tendons? Is it in the muscle? But, yeah? And once we come close, you know, I mean, until it really shows us, you know, it will go through quite a few locations before it shows us where it actually comes from. Yeah? But we can understand it, you know, but that is what I said in the beginning. We understand a lot of things, but that is not the truth. We have to see it with our own eyes. Yeah? Once we see it with our own eyes, you know, where the pain is coming from, I mean, we are not afraid of pain anymore. Okay.
So the same person was investigating pain, but then it became unbearable to the point of almost bringing to give up my resolution. So I ordered the mind to investigate it.
Yeah.
And instead of normal investigation, the mind became mad. It started quickly jumping between the painful locations and chaotically registering the intensity of the pain within fractions of second, labeling it and in various places and so on. It was all so quick, chaotic and mad. I don't know what exactly was going on. All this seems to have confused the pain, which maybe after a minute or two almost disappeared, then reappeared. But I was unable to stand it until the end of my session. I was left with the idea of granularity of pain. Could you clarify for me exactly what happened?
I don't know. I mean, because you said the pain is unbearable, you know, I mean, then of course the mind tries to jump away. That's what our mind normally does, yeah? If it sees something that it doesn't like, it jumps to something else, you know? And then it goes back, and then it jumps again, yeah? Just like, you know, like the monkey mind, you know, when we do our samatha practice, when we try to concentrate on the breath, or, yeah, the mind constantly jumps away. Yeah? So that is what is happening. I mean, the problem is really here, you know? I mean, if you cannot endure the pain, I mean, raise the white flag and said, okay, you defeated me. We have to be clear about when the killers has defeated us. You defeated me, but the next time I just want to stay a little bit longer. Yeah? Maybe half, you know, maybe 10 seconds longer or half a minute longer or a minute longer. Yeah. And so we have to progress it, you know, slowly. Yeah. We cannot. In the first time, you know, we cannot endure it, yeah? So, I mean, whenever it is too strong, you know, I mean, raise the white flag, but know that you were defeated by the Kalesa, yeah? Now, the way he did it is completely wrong, yeah? I mean, that is not investigation of the pain, yeah? He's trying, you know, escape the pain, yeah? And that is not investigation of the pain. But I explained it in the first question already, yeah? So, next, last.
So the same person was attempting to face the three stages of death. This, and they made some progress towards the second stage, but failed to get further. They knew they would not die, but their body was reacting as if it could happen. It was scary, but much less than the first time. I had to stop because it was too scared. Mm-hmm. This time I was shown what is left when there is no more breath. In addition to deepening samadhi and conducting pain investigation, what else can I do to get myself ready? I felt physically exhausted for 2 days. I guess maybe I'm not ready.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, his previous questions, you know, I mean, raises alarm bells that, you know, he actually went through the stages. He probably went through some imagination of stages of death, yeah? That's okay, yeah? They will come automatically, you know, once he sits, you know, I mean, once he sits for 3, 6, or 9 hours, you know, I mean, he will go through it, you know, when he's ready for it, yeah? And, you know, I mean, I told myself, you know, the first time I just gave up, you know, I pushed my, you know, white flag, okay, you defeated me, you know, and the next time, okay, now let's try, you know, if I can manage it, yeah? I could manage it only a little bit, you know, and that, you know. Yes, the fear of death will come. Because we are dying that moment, you know, the kilesa suggests us that we are dying, and then we have to accept it. Okay, let's see what is after death, yeah? That is a statement, and this is, we have to prepare ourselves with that. Yeah? And then you can go through the three stages of breath. Death. And you will die, yeah, for a very short moment, yeah, you will die, yeah. Huh? The breath stops, you know, and you will die. But he's imagining these things, yeah. This is not real, yeah. So, just go slowly, just go slowly. I mean, yeah? you need a lot of sati, I mean, to be able to go through these things. Most people just go in their imagination. What is not completely wrong, but it, you know, it can be helpful, yeah. But it's not the real thing. Yeah? Just like when we do a body investigation, the first thing is we have to imagine these things, you know, okay, that is the hand, or that is the liver, or that is the heart, you know. Imagine it, you know, until we see it with our inner eyes, until it becomes a clear visible image, yeah. So, nothing wrong. I mean, don't push yourself so much, yeah. Go slowly, step by step, yeah. People always want to go, you know, the last semester, yeah. They want to skip the first five semesters or, yeah, and then just go, you know, go the last three semesters, yeah. So they get their degree, yeah. That normally doesn't work out, yeah. Okay, so, no more questions, then we go back to our practice.